welcome to OK Sis Podcast.
Hi, sisters. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Scout.
And we are sisters IRL.
I'm the older one.
Yes, Scout, we know.
We're cultural observers.
And of curious minds.
Get ready for sisterly banter while we chat about fixations, learnings, and personal growth.
We promise it'll be a good time.
As long as you don't get too loud, Mads.
Welcome to the sisterhood! Hello and welcome back to OK Sis
Podcast. You forgot the podcast part.
Oh, the podcast.
I don't know about that one, but hello, sisters. Hello, hello. I am Scout. I am the older sister to Mads. I'm finding that that's most likely my main title in life. But if you are new, welcome to the sisterhood. And if you are a sister, we love you. We see you. We hear you. We acknowledge you. We recognize you. All of the things.
Wow. I mean, ditto.
I want to validate people. I want to validate people's emotions. I want to validate people's experiences. I want to make people feel less alone. I want them to feel safe at home. You know, I just want...
At home in the sisterhood.
I just want the peace for all. You know what I mean?
Don't we know it? Don't we know it, Scout? I have a huge update.
Oh.
I'm wearing jeans inside the house.
With no plans of going anywhere.
No plans of exiting the house.
Are they boyfriend jeans, mom jeans, or are we talking legit jeans?
They are legit jeans.
Mm.
What the fuck does legit jeans mean?
Like, you know, you could wear jeans that are mom jeans or boyfriend jeans, and they're super baggy, so they're not uncomfortable. Or you could wear, like, skinny jeans, you know?
No. We don't wear skinny jeans anymore, Scout.
Why?
Skinny jeans are out.
Yeah, says who? The fucking Gen Zers?
Yep.
Good for them. Good for them. I'm going to continue with the skinny jeans.
You know what? We are on the pulse because we wear middle parts. We don't do side parts. We were always on the pulse with that one.
The only reason we don't do side parts is because we have naturally curly hair, and it's very difficult for our hair to be in a side part. So even if we wanted to participate in the trend, it wouldn't work.
I know, but we are on the pulse now.
Oh, I've always seen those TikToks, and I was wondering which one was the Gen Z versus the millennial.
Middle part is Gen Z. So we are on the pulse. Again, I will say it. We are on the pulse. Have you heard of this new word? Chuggy.
Okay, first of all, before I address that word that sounds like it came from a Teletubby, middle parts are just natural. Like, you can't say that's a trend. Like, how many people in the world actually do a side part that can pull that off?
Oh, a lot.
Like, I've never seen it.
Some people, it's like their shape of their face. Like, they need a side part. It's really unfortunate for those who need a side part. I am a middle part person through and through, and it'll never change.
You know what? I did do a side part in high school when I started. If someone else does my hair, sometimes when I straighten it, I used to ask for a side part because they could do it really well. But it's hard for me to do it myself. I looked good with a side part, actually. I'm going to bring up some photos. Okay, what is chubby, chibi, chibalibi? What does that mean?
It's called chuggy.
Chuggy. Chuggy. Chuggy.
Chuggy. And it basically means a basic bitch, a basic millennial bitch. It's the person who wears Uggs and loves pumpkin spice lattes and has signs in their home that says live, laugh, love. You know,
I don't even associate that with a millennial. I just associate that with a basic girl in general.
It originated from the millennial generation.
That was not what I was a part of.
Well, no, because Scout, guess what?
Hmm.
You're not chuggy. You're not.
Thank God. God, I was worried for a second.
The only way that I subscribe to chugginess and to being a chug.
Pumpkin spice lattes and the Uggs. So that's two out of the three things that you mentioned. So I think I would redefine your identity right now.
Okay. Hello. Let me define myself.
Eggnog. Okay, sorry.
I don't like pumpkin spice lattes. Two, the one thing I do subscribe to is The Office and Friends are apparently super chuggy. Like watching The Office and The Friends.
Okay. So I was listening to What Day Is It podcast, and Jackie and Bailey were talking about this, and they were saying that The Office and Friends are super basic now.
Yeah.
And you know what?
It's really unfortunate.
No, that's a PR nightmare. They're classic. There's a difference. There's a difference, people. Learn English. Learn differences in words.
I think also Learn the difference between classic and chuggy. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Also, yes, you're completely right. Gen Z has no idea what the fuck they're talking about. They don't understand comedic gold.
Wow. There is a war. There is a very clear divide in generations, and it's kind of, I guess we did this to baby boomers, right?
So that's the thing. It's like, millennials are super butthurt about it, and like, we need to be okay. We need to we need to take it, you know?
Okay,
started it. Millennials are butthurt, so they're trying to be like, oh no, we're not. Like, just like what I just did about The Office and feeling super attacked. But, you know, we need to just let it happen to us, because the next generation are going to say to Gen Z, oh, remember when you guys were on TikTok chicken twerking your butts and fucking each other, blah, blah, blah? That's what they're going to say to them.
Okay, you know, I think that
and
what's
wearing
happening,
Crocs. Oh, my God. They're going to come for your Crocs, Gen Z. They're going to come for them.
First of all, Crocs were millennials, so they stole back from our generation, which was terrible. But, you know, what I'm sensing here is, you know, they say when one is triggered, they should look at why one is triggered. And
yes.
I'm not triggered or threatened at all by the Gen Z, because you couldn't pay me to be that age again. So when I look at them, I say, oh, I am so sorry. You have your 20s that you must go through. And I'm exiting. True. So I'm good. I'm stoked. I'm true believe-y. I'm good. Heard it here first.
I'm true believe-y. I'm good.
Luna, that's the new quote.
Do you remember what it is?
Chubalibi, Chubby?
No, Chugi. Oh my God.
Tubby, Teletubby. Luna, Tubby, Chubby, Tubby.
Yes.
Chubby?
Precisely. Precisely.
It's kind of like Star Wars, you know? Like Chewbacca. No. It's like Chewbacca.
Nope. Not in the slightest.
Do you know what Chewbacca is?
Yep, but not in the slightest. Okay.
I'm unsure. Okay, moving on. Let's get into this episode, because it's a
I do have an announcement. Wait a second.
How many announcements can you have? I mean, I just talked to you last night.
The jeans was a mini announcement. This is a larger announcement. This week, ladies, I was going to say ladies and gentlemen, but there's only one gentleman, Guy. Hi, Guy. Ladies, this Thursday, our book club pick episode will be out. Hopefully you have read Second First Impressions by Sally Thorne. If not, you have 3 days to do so, which is very possible because I read it in basically two sittings. And I'm going to be speaking with Sally Thorne, which is where it all began, where all the my romance novel journey began with Miss Sally Thorne. So this is going to be a big one.
Can't wait. In my calendar.
Can't wait.
Super stoked.
In the cow. Make sure it's in the cow.
Mostly it's in the cow for me, because I got to upload that shit. So
you got to upload that shit. All right, let's get into this episode. We cannot waste any more time. It's honestly rude that we've wasted such precious amounts of time.
Talking about true believies.
Yep. Nope. That's still not how it's. Nope. That's not the word. We have the just utmost chic, sophisticated lady on the podcast today. Her name is Melanie Masarin, and she is the founder of Gia, which you've probably seen on your feed, because it's just absolutely chic. And if you don't know what Gia is, it's a non-alcoholic aperitif. She is basically bringing soberness into the collective consciousness as a cool thing to do.
Not only just soberness, but just the bringing back the art of, just because if you don't want to have an alcoholic drink does not mean that you cannot have something fancy or have that afternoon treat to yourself. So I've actually been drinking Gia. I have about 5 Gia cocktails a week, and I do it with carbonated water. I don't know what you call that. And half a lime with some Gia. And it's just the best. I put it in a wine glass. Me and my husband have it. My husband's sober, so it's a nice way for us to enjoy something a little bit fancier. She is from France, and to be quite honest, I listened back to the beginning of the episode, and Mads and I sound like highly obnoxious Americans that are completely attacking her for her accent, but it's okay. No, it's okay.
What do you mean attacking her? We were fawning. We were drooling over it.
Yeah, I made her listen to me speak French. We had to go into our you had to give the entire history of our relationship to France, to our relationship to French, to our relationship to our French cousins. I mean, it was like she literally doesn't talk for the first 3 minutes because we're just like, Melanie, let us tell you everything that we have to do about the language French.
We're such annoying Americans. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's pretty annoying. But she is such a doll. We have been loving this.
She was so patient with us.
Yeah, we've been loving Gia from afar for the last, I think, like 6 or 8 months, especially when quarantine hit. We really started drinking Gia. So I think you're going to love this product. You're going to love Melanie. You're going to love this interview. And we hope you enjoy, sisters.
Enjoy.
The other day, my cousin looked at me and asked if I got a treatment in my hair. I said no, but I am taking Nutrafol. You see, sisters, I had some shedding issues postpartum when it came to my hair, so I made it my mission to support my hair growth and strengthen my hair. I mean, Mads, you saw my hair last time I was up in LA, and you even complimented me, which, sisters, you know that when Mads compliments me, it's a big deal.
I do have to give this one to you, Scout. Your hair is looking thick, strong, and beautiful. When it comes to hair thinning, it's complicated. The problem is it's actually much bigger than your hair alone. Like your skin, hair is a reflection of your health, and internal factors can impact the way your hair looks, feels, and grows. Nutrafol's whole body approach multi-targets underlying root causes like stress, hormone fluctuations, and nutrient gaps for visibly thicker and stronger hair.
Every morning after I eat breakfast, I take 4 pills and it becomes a seamless addition to my morning routine. But the reason I decided to go with Nutrafol when supporting my hair health is that Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. Oh, also, Nutrafol makes the best Mother's Day present, especially for new moms. The perfect way to show them that you care about their postpartum support.
Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code OKSIS. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code OKAYSIS. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code OKSIS. Okay, first of all, your lovely accent. Where are you from, my love?
I'm from France.
Yeah, I was going to say, she's from France. How do you not know that? I mean, we got the chic background. We got the cream sweater. We have the accent.
We have the French style. You know, so our grandmother speaks French. So does our dad. So it was so funny because growing up, my grandmother would speak to my dad in French when she didn't want us to hear anything. So then when it came time for high school for me to choose a language, you know, everyone chose Spanish to, you know, because we're in California, and I chose French, and everyone was so confused. And I was like, no, I'm literally learning French so that I can know what my grandma is speaking to my dad.
Yeah, the secret language. You never want a secret language in the family.
I know.
And how's your French?
I took French for a year in college, and I actually learned a lot. Let me say something for you now.
Oh, God.
I'm sure you get this all the time. Ready? Oh, fuck. I forgot the word. J'ai oublié beaucoup de mon français parce que je n'ai pas parlé avec ma grand-mère.
Okay.
See, I'm no. Oh no. Me and Oma would have full conversations. Like, I think I'm good. I can do it.
I think you can do it too. This was pretty good.
This was my
second. It.
Yeah. So I don't remember any French, which is just so sad because I took it for like 5 years. Like, it's just sad. It's the American school system. I blame it on that. But I would always say in class, because we weren't allowed to speak English, I would say, comment dit-on, blah, 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 and I would just say the thing in English so I could just be like, how do you say this in French? So that was my way of sneaking around AP French in high school.
That's a good hack.
Melanie, where are you located?
I'm in LA right now. I just got
you back. You are. Yeah. And how old were you when you moved to the States?
I was 17, so I moved to the States for college, and then fully manifested my mother's worst nightmare and never moved back to France. So I just turned 30, so it's been 13 years.
Oh my God. And your whole family is in France still?
Yeah, my siblings are in Paris and my parents are in Lyon.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Wait. Scott, where's our uncle? Is he in Lyon?
First of all, he's our cousin, and he's his name is Leo. So I don't know.
Oh, his name is Leo. That's probably. But we have cousins in France. I'm trying to relate, and it's like I'm the most American that it gets. Yeah, Scout.
I want to know why you actively chose to live in Los Angeles versus Paris.
Well, I went to college, and then I lived in New York for 10 years, and I had kind of built my career in the US. And as much as I love Paris, I think it's so different professionally. Like I always crave going back to France, and I'm like every 6 months I'll get like really homesick and like suddenly book a flight there, and then I get there and have the best time. And after 4 days, I'm like, nothing works here. I have to go back to America. And I think it's just so culturally so different, especially professionally. And so when I had this like awakening moment, I think it was like Saturn's return or something. And I was like, I woke up one morning, I was like, I have to leave New York. And I was working a bunch in LA, and I thought, why not try it for a few months? And so I rented a friend's place for a few months, and then I got totally stuck here. I love it here. I'm like thriving.
You know what? I think before we get into current fixations, because we could jump into your story super quickly, I think that people underestimate the professional benefits that America brings. I think that people oftentimes romanticize living in Europe. A lot of the times our friends want to go to Israel, and then they move there and they realize how difficult it is on an operations standpoint to get through their career. I find that, and that's something that I don't think a lot of people talk about, but I think the promise of opportunity in America is definitely alive and well.
Yeah, it's so real. I mean, the fact that I was able to start my company so young, but that there were all these really creative startups, like especially New York is such a hub for it. And I think, you know, it was a little bit of like jumping on their hamster wheel. But then, you know, I started working for Glossier, and that was really fun, and that was really exciting. And you know, before that, I worked for Dig In, which was also a really exciting company. And so I don't know. I think that I'm definitely someone who prioritizes like work is a huge part of my happiness right now, my identity too. And so I just, it didn't really outweigh, you know, the benefits, although I see the appeal, you know, of a life in France. Like a lot of my friends now have like one or two kids, and they're, you know, from Lyon, you drive 2 hours, you're in the Alps to ski, and you drive 3 or 4 hours and you're near the Mediterranean. And that's just an incredible lifestyle that I feel like California somehow has brought like the best of both worlds for me, because I can be in New York a week a month, not during the pandemic, but like in usual times. And I also can have like sunshine and tomatoes that taste like the sun growing in my garden year round. So
California does have a very, I don't know, a romantic feel to it for sure. There's pockets of it. Like if you drive up the coast and go to Big Sur and go to Carmel and even Central California, the coast, there's just something so elegant about it. And I think Joan Didion really captures the essence so well of like what makes California so just like culturally different than the rest of the country, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think we should be our own country. I've said it all the time.
Oh, God. Like, well, all right.
I think California would be great. I think we're awesome. I just love California so much. It is, but you're right.
The taxes are already savage, so we might as well, like, you know.
Thank you.
True. I mean,
I'm like half joking. That wasn't like a serious political comment. But, you know, when you think about California, it's just, it has its own vibe, culture, and entity to it that I think is so distinct from the rest of the country.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's get into current fixations, because we're gonna talk so much. I mean, you just like sort of dropped the bombshell that you are a Glossier alum, and just like I need to hear all about that as well. Okay, so let's do current fixations. Scout, why don't you start?
Okay, so my current fixation this beautiful week is the Saffron and Sage Purify Hypoallergenic Oil cleanser. So Saffron and Sage is a holistic wellness community space center, I guess you could call it, here in San Diego, which I have spoken about on the podcast numerous times. They are responsible for my mental sanity. I go for cupping and acupuncture twice a month. They have a really beautiful gift shop where you can get these incredible decks of cards and crystals and essential oils. And they are also implementing, which I think is fucking brilliant, a healthcare system that brings in a Western and Eastern doctor to really holistically help diagnose you and help treat you through various autoimmune diseases, mental health stuff, whatever. And they created a skincare line. And I suffer from blackheads on the nose. And it has been something that has plagued me for years. I am a true victim to the blackhead. And my mother, every time she would see me, the first thing she would say is, you got to do something about those blackheads. And I said, even if I go to a facialist and get them out, they are there 2 hours later. And so Mads introduced me, obviously, to the double cleanse situation, and I was using the brand she uses, but I wanted to support my Saffron & Sage community with their skincare line, and so I purchased their oil cleanser. It comes in a beautiful glass bottle, and I will never return to another oil cleanser. My blackheads, because of this one right here, it's clean beauty, all of the things, I have no blackheads on my face anymore. Like maybe two appear every now and then.
I was gonna say, I'm gonna come up to you with like a microscope and see if I can.
It is my holy grail for blackheads. Wow. And so I gift this to friends for birthdays, all the things. It is, and you can purchase it online in case you're not from San Diego. They do have an online shop, so you're supporting local women-owned clean beauty, and you're also getting rid of blackheads. So it's just a win-win for all involved.
Wow. We love to see a product that works, you know?
I mean, do we, you know, that's, why would we want a product that doesn't?
Sometimes there's a lot of hype and then the products don't work, you know? So when you find something that like, I just, it's the best feeling ever.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, Mads, what's yours?
My current fixation, guys, this is going to be a different one for me. I'm going to say a mentality, a philosophy, if you will, a mindset shift. And I know it's very cliche to say this, but it's all over TikTok and it has deeply resonated with me. I am now prioritizing making myself the main character. I am giving main character energy off into the world these days. And what do I mean by this? I mean posting things on the internet and not giving a shit how they perform, what people think, agonizing over what, you know, what people's perception of me will be. I think we place so much mental energy and expenditure on what other people think about when they're probably not even looking at your post and thinking what you're thinking. So I implore everyone, and this is going to be homework of the week, just post whatever the fuck you want and don't care about it. I mean, the reason I bring this up is the other week I posted something, and I usually don't really care how I portray myself on the internet because we have a podcast and we're always vulnerable on the internet. And I posted this video and I was like, oh my God, people are gonna think I'm weird. And I deleted it. And I was so disappointed with myself a little bit. I know it's such a small thing, but really having confidence in yourself and like owning some sort of authentic part of you. Like there's a reason you posted that initially. So just be true to that and follow it through. So I implore everyone, let's just post whatever we want and just be the main character. That's all I'm going to say.
Amen. That's beautiful.
Thank you. Okay, Melanie, what is your current fixation?
Okay, so my current fixation is, so I just spent like a little over a month in Mexico City. That was my like end of my quarantine after I got my vaccine. And so I just got back to my house, and actually my current fixation is just something that I already had and I just like found again. And it's this kitchen appliance, my Thermomix, which I'm totally obsessed with. It's this like all-in-one appliance I grew up with. And I finally got one like in my adult life, and it just kind of like does everything in once, and it just like makes cooking so easy, and it's just so fun to use, and there's all these recipes loaded online and it tells you what to do. And I'm just like, I got home and I was like, wow, like being home is where my Thermomix is. And it's like such like Euro like 50s style thing, but I was like, wow, I just like, I'm so happy I found my kitchen again, and I've been making lunch for the team with it, and it's like, it's great. So so Thermomix, yeah, I'm like very like old school like kitchen lady, and I was just like, I just don't need new things. Like, I just love my kitchen appliance. That's like what I miss the most when I was away, you know?
That's so
true. I always miss the things that I make for myself kind of consecutively during the day whenever I leave town and come back. I'm so excited to see my pan where I saute my greens. It's just it's a reminder, because you don't really have access to cook the way you have access to cook at your house. It's just this reminder that you're home.
It's like really home. Like, I made soup, I prepped everything. It was just like, now we have like snacks for the whole week. And I don't know, just like, it just makes it so easy. And I think it's just like my favorite thing that I own. And I realized like I had missed it.
Oh my God. It's so true. I love that. I love like little trinkets that make home feel home. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Okay, Melanie, we are so excited to talk to you, because not only did you create one of the most like sought after brands last year, but it's very unique. So for those who don't know, you are the founder of Gia, which is a non-alcoholic aperitif drink, if you will. So why don't you talk a little bit about what is it and why non-alcoholic?
And specifically, can you go into the culture behind an aperitif? Because I believe that that's not an American thing to say. So I would love to hear your perception and perspective on that.
Of course. So we'll start with that, actually. Aperitif, it comes from the Latin verb aperire, which means to open. And it's basically, it's basically either the drink, the aperitif, which is a drink that you would have before dinner to open your appetite, or apéro is this kind of like the French equivalent of like happy hour. So it's at like 5 to 7 p.m. You have little snacks like olives or, you know, like anchovies and oil, and you basically have a drink to kind of transition you from work into play. And that's like a sort of every night thing in the summer. And it's a really special moment that designates this time before dinner. That's obviously a big part of how I grew up and a big part of, I guess, my culture. And so why non-alcoholic is like, it was never an option for me to create an alcoholic drink, because the idea really came from like years of being super frustrated because I didn't drink and I felt like as a result, I didn't belong. And I cook a lot and I host a lot. Like, I'm definitely someone who kind of kept a little bit of my European lifestyle. Like in New York, it would be, you know, I would always have dinner parties if I had free time, and I love a home cooked meal. And I always felt like even if there were like 15 people like in my living room eating the food that I had made, I felt like an outsider because I wasn't drinking. And I started to realize the past few years that if I went out to dinner at a restaurant and I said, oh, actually, I'm not going to drink, like very often, either there was another person at the table that would opt out, or like it was like it would like give the confidence to someone else to opt out. And that made me realize like, wow, there's maybe something there. It seems like things are changing a little bit. And what I hope is that, you know, in a few years, like pushing a drink on someone will be like pushing a cigarette on someone, i.e. like not a thing at all. But right now it's like there's this pressure to drink, and there is this all these like constructs around like what it means to be drinking, and you're a wine mom, or you're, you know, it's like you're like depressed, you're gonna have a drink, or you're feeling a certain way, so you're gonna have a martini at the bar. And I'm just kind of like, well, you can also just like have a Gia and be yourself, and that's cool too, you know. So it was really about like making a drink that would make you belong in like, not, it's like that feeling when you don't need a drink, basically. So that was
It's so interesting to me that you have that story, because as I'm entering, I'll be 30 this year, I feel as if I'm going through a shift where a lot of my social interactions, of course, mostly pre-COVID, but now that the world is opening up a little bit more, a lot of my social interactions are one-on-one or small dinner parties where the lexicon is, hey, let's meet up for a glass of wine. And so I started recognizing last year, as the pandemic hit and my alcohol consumption went up, I started realizing just how ingrained alcohol is in all of our interactions. And I realized that, even some of my best friends, we don't really get together without a glass of wine. And there's something really beautiful about having a glass of wine with your girlfriend. It's a very memorable, special moment for me. But the fact that it's just this go-to, the fact that it's just this automatic, the fact that it's never really questioned, I realized how many times I was having meals, sometimes even lunch, with a client, with a friend, and it was just this automatic, let's get a drink. And I stopped to really think about it and think, do I want to have a drink right now? Will that increase my day? Is this the right moment? Am I in the right mood? And so I remember going to lunch with a client and saying, I'm going to decline having a drink if other people do, just because I want to be mindful that I'm having a full day, and that's not really what I want to do right now at 12:30 in the afternoon, even if I am overlooking Malibu and it's a beautiful day. And for some reason that felt so radical in my mind, just because it showed me how ingrained this specific habit is a part of all of our social interactions. And my husband is coming up on 10 years sober. So when we had ghee, I was making us really nice. I got these like tonics or whatever, I don't know, but I was making fun things. I had the lime, I followed one of your recipes, and we were able to have a really beautiful drink because I believe I have that same mentality that at the end of the day, I like something kind of fancy to transition. So I'll either make a mock or an aperitif with ghee, or I'll do a kombucha. So there's something really special about not only questioning that automatic habit, but then providing us an alternative to still engage in that beautiful transitional
ritual. I was going to say something that I noticed in myself over quarantine was, because I didn't have like a separation between work and home life, I ended up drinking so that it could separate it. There was like that moment like, okay, now I get to have a glass of wine and therefore like work is done. And it was a very distinction between these two lives. And I think a lot of people during the pandemic can relate to this. So for me, ghee is this like, yeah, it's a transition. It's a ritual. It's something that you can do that doesn't give. I'm the hangovers. It's like, let's just not anymore. Let's just.
I have a question about the actual product. And I wasn't sure when I have it, how long does it last by the time you open it? Because you put it in the fridge. How quickly do you have to drink that? Because it is really just kind of this additional taste into another, you know, into sparkling water, et cetera.
Yeah. You have about 4 weeks. So you don't even have to refrigerate it, but it's just better if you do, because it preserves the extracts better. But you have 4 weeks. It doesn't really go bad. We just think it's just better if it's like, it will lose its bitter taste. So I would recommend like about a month. So it's actually like, you know, much longer than like a bottle of wine. There's about 10 servings in it. But it doesn't last that long around my house, but yeah. And you totally nailed it. I think we always say like, ghee is a transition drink. And I think it's really about that ritual and making something for yourself. And I love that you think it's fancy, but the idea, and also what I love about aperitif, is that they're specifically meant to not be fancy. Like, I don't want to make an elaborate cocktail. You can just do half ghee, half your favorite bubbles, whether it's like a tonic or sparkling water, and here you go, you have your, you know, you have your drink. And it sort of takes the intimidation out of making a cocktail, because it's like, a lot of people don't know how to make a Negroni or something like that. And what I like about those bitter drinks, like a Campari soda or you know, those spritzes, is that they're meant to be very, they're not meant to be intimidated. You can make them very nonchalantly and like fix yourself a really nice like moment without being too serious about it.
And I think like cocktails in general are just, they're an art form, right? Like crafting a cocktail and actually building this, it's an experience. And I know it might be different over the pandemic, but is ghee sold at bars? Like, do you guys have bars that use the product? Because I can just see, I can already tell you like five different LA bars that would just die over this.
Tell me for sure. So bars like not open really this year, and we've had to launch our entire strategy for ghee. I was like, I want to launch it offline. I don't want to look at my phone so much, and I want to be in restaurants, and I want people to be able to go out and not, I never want to hear like, oh, I don't want to go out because I don't want to drink again. Cause I'm like, those things are not related, but they are related in the world that we live in, or pre-pandemic world that we lived in. So we've obviously had to boot and launched a company online on Instagram, my actual nightmare, and it turned out great. So we're like, you know, so it's all good. But I'm so looking forward to it being in bars. Right now we're in 140 stockists, but they're mainly retail because on premise is sort of just starting to reopen. We're in a bunch of restaurants though, so already you can go, you know, to dinner in LA and New York, and we have a number of them in like Philly and Chicago, and you know, they're all on our site. We have 140 stockists, and I think it's like, it's so fun to hear people saying like, I saw Ghia on the menu and I ordered it. And because I opted out, like all my friends also opted out. And then we get, you know, text messages from the chefs there and they're like, wow, this whole table came and everyone had Ghia. And I just love that because it's like, it's a drink for sharing. So,
A drink for sharing. I love that. So you just said that your worst nightmare was launching a brand on Instagram, but
you do it fucking well.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Melody, let's step back. First of all, you did mention that you're a Glossier alum, so you know the power of branding. You understand the power of marketing and millennial marketing specifically. So talk to us about the brand, because it's fucking gorgeous. And then like all the unboxing experience, all of the little accoutrements and the instructions and the just the tone of voice. You feel like it's a friend. You feel very included.
It comes with coasters.
Comes with
coasters.
Everything is just
it comes
thought
with,
of.
Like a recipe manual. I mean, it's delightful.
So you know the power of branding. So talk to us kind of what was creating that world like?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, thank you so much. I'm like, I have, I guess this is only audio, but I have like a big smile on my face because I love it when people recognize kind of like the work that we put into it. I mean, we're a team of three, so it's like, this is all very personal.
Oh, yeah, wait. Oh, so, Riley is on your team, right?
Riley is my ride or die.
So I grew up with Riley in San Diego, and she worked at Glossier, and then I'm probably sure that's how you guys connected. Yeah. But she was the one that first reached out to us, and she was like, oh my God, Melody wants to be on OK Sis. I was like, yes, love this. Love all the like connections. Yeah. But wow, I didn't know it was only three of you.
It's only three of us, and Riley was hired on March 10th, 2020 to do restaurant sales. So she's had to also pivot. And wow. I was like, you still have a job. You're just going to do everything else. And she's like, okay, I'm down. Like, we used to know each other at Glossier, and you know, she was so great. She helped open Glossier LA, and I just like really trust her, and we've pretty much been like quarantine mates. So yeah, I big shout out to Riley and all the other 858 numbers that have come through to help us this year's.
Love that.
The brand was so fun to build, because I think I had, you know, over the past 10 years, I had always kind of like slowly been transitioning from more of a business background to a more creative background. First doing business in a slightly more creative environment, and then really taking a bit more creative ownership in my work at Glossier, where I had a lot of input on the design of the stores and the concept and where they went, and really thinking through that customer experience. And I think one of the things that Glossier really teaches you is that attention to detail. And it's like, how do you make the customer feel really comfortable? I think it's like really important to make things not transactional. And even more in a year like last year, it's like everybody needed comfort. And like, this is not an essential drink. It's a non-alcoholic aperitif. This is really niche, you know? But if you're going to be making people feel like this drink makes them belong, as opposed to, you know, alcohol, which has been like marketed to us for the past decades, it's like being the life of the party, it has to be loud and it has to be fun. And so I was like, what are all of the offline touch points, the things that you can't replicate on Instagram, and how do we make that, you know, come through in our packaging? And so it was like, who are the chefs that we really love, and can they help us make recipes? And so I reached out to Camille Becerra and all the chefs that I really admired, and you know, most of them said yes, and they helped with our recipe book. And then we really wanted to, like, you know, have really like artsy photography, and I say artsy, but I mean like there's this level of like glam, because it's like, I think you like, you make a ghia and you feel like a $1 million, and you add like two edible flowers to it, and that's it. You know, work is over. Anything can happen. We make these playlists, and I'm like, the number of times where we're feeling down last year, and I was like, let's put on a good song, and it was like dance party in the ghia kitchen, and that was like, it just brings you back, and it's those moments where you don't actually need a drink. You are your own, you know, like upbeat fuel. And so we're just about like channeling those moments. And so the colors are the colors of the Mediterranean. There's the like purpley color of our drink, and there's the yellow of the sun, and there's all the blues of the sea, and the kind of like ultimate like recharge, you know, nature is always the inspiration. And then a lot of it was like, I studied design a little bit in school, and then, you know, over the course of my life, I just love design. And I was like, who are the people that were kind of creating beautiful things just because? But, you know, it looked a little bit weird at first, and then it just became a thing. And it was like all this postmodern inspiration in Memphis design, where it's like very extra, very colorful, extremely playful. It's like, that's the brand I want to follow. That's the brand. Like, it has to make you smile, you know, if anything, and not be too serious. Like, we're a drink, it doesn't matter. So we, you know, we really wanted it to make people feel special. Like, I feel like we launched in June, when we were supposed to launch in April in restaurants only. And we were like, how can we make people feel special? Getting a box at your doorstep in those times, like, had carried so much more value than in regular times, because it was like you were alone at home, people were scared. And so we're like, let's make people feel really special. Let's bring the bar to them. So you have the coasters, you have the recipe book, you have a drink that doesn't make you hungover and, you know, anxious the following day, which is kind of part of the reason why I stopped drinking. Is I was like, I feel horrible the day after. Is it just me? And I was like, oh, it's everyone. Okay.
But somehow people just keep doing it. We keep doing it, which is, oy.
It's weird. I have two glasses of wine, and then it's really like really annoying when people talk to me before 10:30, you know? And I was like, oh, you too? Okay. Well, I'm out on that. I'm fully out on feeling like this the day after. So we wanted Gia to be loud and expressive and really happy and really optimistic, even in kind of the darkest year. And I think people really, really connected with that, because it was what we need, a little break.
Yeah, there's so much. Every time I look at the brand, I see something different branding wise. I don't know why, but I feel like I'm probably going to say this wrong, but there's a lot of like Toulouse-Lautrec inspiration. There's a lot of Art Deco. There's a lot of vintage like 60s mod girls. I can see where, you know, and so there's just all these aspects. And then it's so beautifully brought into the millennial space, into the more, I guess, modern today kind of space. It's just a really beautiful collage of so many different things that I see when I look at it. But you're so right. When I got my package with it, I was so excited. And I don't think, you know, there's so many non-alcoholic beverages, right? We drink them all day long, different ones. But for some reason, when I got this, it was a beautiful bottle. It had beautiful messaging. As you said, it had the experience of the coasters, the recipe book. And I got so excited to also share that moment with my husband, since he doesn't drink, creating something special for the two of us that wasn't just a bottle of kombucha or coconut water, but really making it feel elevated. And I know you said aperitifs aren't supposed to be fancy, but believe me, in America, they sound really freaking fancy. Yeah. So it was so nice. And it felt special. It didn't feel like another thing I was drinking. It felt like a very monumental thing. And I just was thinking, you know, when we have events and things, since my husband is sober, this is going to be at the bar. Like, this is going to be an option at the bar for people.
Yeah.
But I also love that, because it's like, I mean, obviously I'm super biased. Like, he is my child, and it's like 99% of what I think about. But I'm like, it's really thoughtful to have a non-alcoholic option if you're hosting. Like, I was always the host, but I feel like, you know, it's like you go to an event like in New York, and it's like sometimes if you're, there's only two options at the bar, and it's like cocktails. And if you get a cocktail, it's in a glass. And if you get a water, you get the water bottle. And I'm just like, I want to be on the reverse of that, where it's like extra thoughtful and you can go to the bar and have this really special non-alcoholic option. And I hope that that's happening. Like in the UK, where drinking is so ingrained in the culture, it's like 55% of bars and restaurants now have non-alcoholic options on the menu. So I do feel like that trend is coming. It's probably going to take a few years, but and drink patronage is really real. Like in New York, I remember when I lived there, there was a Mexican restaurant called Atla that had all these agua frescas, because in Mexico, they're also really popular. And I used to go there all the time because I felt like I could order this like really delicious Palo Santo drink without feeling like I wasn't partaking, you know?
It's so true. It's part of the fabric of how we interact and socialize. It's so true. I do want to ask about the ingredients. So is there something that like makes you feel a little like a little something something, or is it just this taste that kind of maybe mentally makes you feel like you're drinking? I don't know, but there feels like it's something.
So there isn't. Okay. Yeah, designed for taste and not function. And that's a question we get a lot. It's like, what does it do to you? And we were not like, I think a lot of people do that very well. Kin and others, like, they're really focused on, you know, other states and getting you there without the booze and the toxic ingredients. And so that's, you know, they do that really well. For us, it was really about like the flavors. So it was all about, for this first drink for me was about preparing your palate for a good meal. It's that bitter drink. Now, Ghia is like 100% juices and extracts. So as a result, there's functional benefits to it. Like, for instance, there's a single serving has a functional dose of lemon balm, which like is just really good for your stress system. And so if you have like 3 or 4, you'll feel a little bit calm, cold, collected, but it's never going to be something that's going to prevent you from like driving or make you drowsy or asleep or whatever. It's like, it's more like you'll feel like, I don't know, like just like very good into your being and very relaxed, but kind of like awake. There's like orange peel, which is, you know, a bit of an energizer. So, but it wasn't designed for that.
Got it. And then what is your favorite way to have it? What is like, you don't need to like say the whole recipe, but what is like your favorite way to craft a Ghia cocktail?
Yeah. So,
or do you even call it cocktail, or do you guys like to call it mocktails? Or not anything.
I prefer cocktail. I think mocktail implies something that's really sweet. And
this is true.
Very bitter. So I love a bitter. And also I think bitter is an acquired taste. And at this point I've had so much Ghia that it's just like my taste buds are totally shot.
Before you answer, that is actually something I really did want to bring up, is that I think the reason I have had a negative connotation with mocktails is because I think like virgin pina colada. That's what I think when I think of mocktail.
Who wants to order virgin pina colada? Yeah. Like, no, like SOS, you know? No. Like, mocktail has a joke in the name. Who wants that? It's like the kids menu. And it's like,
so true.
You just don't want that. So we really wanted a drink that was, and I think for that reason, it's unapologetically bitter. Like, I don't even try to put sugar in it.
Yeah.
And a lot of people like to try it and they're like, that is a bitter drink. But I like mine bitter, where I do half Ghia, half sparkling water.
Okay.
I would recommend, and then whatever herb I have, you know, on deck. Like right now I have shiso in my fridge, so I've been drinking that this week. Mint is also great. Rosemary, a sprig of something to make you feel fancy. I think for most people, Ghia, one part Ghia, two part ginger beer, or one part Ghia, two part kombucha, or one part Ghia, two part something bubbly that's maybe a little bit sweeter, like a tonic. San Pellegrino Oakwood tonic is really good and a little smoky. That's really good. I'm actually working on kind of this perfect spritz, which is a better maybe entry into the product. So we're going to be launching cans in a month. For picnics and for beach and for just sticking with you. And I was the most reluctant to cans because I don't know. I just feel like cans are just, they're not very European. They're not as chic. And my team was like, I think we need to put them in a can, make them really portable. And it can be that perfect spritz ready to drink. And so I said, okay, you know what? Let's go with cans. And I've had samples in my fridge and I've been like crushing them. So I feel like they're going to work.
I'm going to be the first consumer for that because I'm just so impatient. I think that's why like wine for me, it's just so easy. So it's like, if it is, I know it is very American, but like, I do think that the can game is veering into more of a acceptable, chic type of place. I mean, I love bringing canned drinks to the beach and just having it on a go. So that's going to be stellar. Yeah. And the way you guys are going to brand it, I'm not even worried. Yeah. I'm not even worried. Scout, did you have a question?
I was gonna say, I'm not a can girl, but I will drink.
I will drink. I will drink Ghia in a can.
I'm not a can girl at all, but I literally would have those in my fridge 100% ready to go to the boat, to the beach, whatever. That's perfect. And I think that bringing them into the can space will allow you to infiltrate more of that mainstream mission, in that people now have a non-alcoholic beverage but still feel a part of the, you know, community, the party, whatever it might be. I think that the cans, especially in America, is a perfect way to kind of get that mission across.
Yeah. I have one question, and this is, I hope this doesn't offend you.
No.
Can you drink Ghia with alcohol?
Yeah. It doesn't offend me at all. It's actually a better mixer. It's a better mixer. And, you know, I think generally, like, while I don't participate in like alcohol drinking myself. Like I admire the craft. And I actually, my dream is to open an aperitivo bar that would have cocktails that would actually be sorted with, instead of saying like alcoholic, non-alcoholic, which feels so binary, is you would actually have these like amazingly crafted cocktails that wouldn't be too sweet. And you could choose 0, 4, 8% alcohol, which is kind of like all of these.
Oh
like,
my God. Melanie, you're giving away the, we need to
get an NDA.
Yeah, I was going to say we need like a license.
Legally, everybody who is listening to this has agreed to the NDA on this wonderful idea.
It's a NDA. I feel like, I'm definitely going to get in trouble for saying that.
No, you're fine.
And it would be like, then you can kind of choose like how much of your, you know, how influenced you want to be. Like we always say, yes, like over the influence, that's our tagline. So it's like you can choose and it's a better mixer and it makes for a very complex drink. Like a, you know, Guia soda and splash of mezcal is delicious. And then it also I think it just it creates low ABV in general, which is good because then you can really kind of last through the night.
Do you know how many times I've asked waiters, do you have a half glass option? Because I don't want a full glass, but I would love a crisp Sauvignon Blanc right now just for the taste. Really just for the taste. I don't really feel like getting impaired right now. And they're like, no, you have to order the full thing. So I think that's so genius, especially because people's tolerance levels are so different, right? So, you know, the difference between having a beer and a glass of wine really changes the state of me. And so I think that having that option is not only going to introduce this idea or this thoughtful idea of how much do I want to consume right now? Do I want to consume right now? But it provides a level instead of basically saying, hey, let's cut off alcohol. Let's just think more mindfully about the way we consume it.
Yeah, for sure.
Amazing.
I love this.
Okay, Mads, should we ask our last favorite question?
Yes.
Okay, so we ask everyone who comes on OK Sis at the end, if you could brag about one thing and don't be humble, what would you brag about?
I think I'm the best travel planner I know.
You're the best travel planner? Oh.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
You have to
I'm the best travel
mad.
Planner I know. Like, that's like, it's a humble brag, but I think it's like actually a skill I give to all my friends. Like I'm just like the best person I know at planning a trip. It's like a thing. Like I can figure out all the like underground places and all the best street food. And like for my best friend's 35th birthday, I planned this like crazy trip to Japan. I had never been there and put this PDF together with like the travel itinerary. And like I've done it for my family before where they don't know until the day before where we're going, but they get a packing list. And like I have all these like Google Maps for every city that I'll happily share with everyone. I just put a little guide to Mexico City on my Instagram because so many people were asking me. Like I truly think like I'm the best travel planner I know.
Melanie,
so
I'm shaking. I'm freaking out because guess what? I'm developing an app that essentially houses all of your travel recommendations in one place that will replace Google Maps, but it'll be like a social network. So you saying this to me, like my heart skips a beat because these are the type of people I connect with because I'm exactly you as well. Like I have tons of recommendations. Everyone's always asking me where to go when I go to a place. And it's just the most disjointed experience to like send them all my Google Maps and my spreadsheets. Whereas I'm developing an app called Camber. So I'm going to need all your recs and we're going to put it on there. You're going to love it. It's like it's very chic branding and you're going to love it.
I'm so excited.
Oh, you can have a Guia profile where you add all of the restaurants that Guia's in for people to go visit.
Look at that. Just cross pollination, cross promotion. We love it.
We love it.
Yeah, that's a really good humble brag because I suck at that so much. And traveling with Mads is one, a delight because I know that I'm going to go to great places, but two, quite stressful because she's very fucking strict on the itinerary. But that's a story.
I have to do so much research. I'm like you. I find the best of the best underground, coolest spots. That's when I said I can already, because I was just, I mean, there's another conversation. I was just developing like our LA list for Camber and I just like was coming up with all of these amazing bars that are just not the typical bars that you would think of when you think of LA. And so that's why when I said that I could imagine Guia in so many bars, I'm going to send you this list and then invite you to Camber so you can try it out.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Yay. And it's like, I don't know, it's like a really good like catalyst for my OCD, which is sometimes like a little overpowering. And I'm like, oh no, I make like this great list. And I mean, I have friends in Mexico City that were like, well, you made me rediscover the city. You know, I took them to cooking classes and like a bunch of stuff. And it's now they're signed up for the cooking class for the rest of the spring. Like, it's really fun. So,
oh, I love that. Oh, my heart is so warm. Oh,
thank
okay,
you.
Okay, Melanie, let everybody know where they can find you, Gia, everything.
Gia is drinkgia.com and also 140 Stockists, which are on our site. And I highly encourage everyone to support our Stockists because they need it the most right now. And I'm at Melanie Masserin on Instagram, but it's not as interesting as Gia. And I do Gia Instagram anyway. So
no, if you want like French chic vibes, head over to Melanie's personal Instagram. But thank you so much for being here. This was so delightful. We are huge proponents of Gia. We are your number one champion. So we're so excited to see everything that comes about for you all. You.
I'll send you samples of our 10.
Oh my God. Yes.
Yes.
100%. Please. 100%.
And sisters, you can follow us on Instagram at OKSIS Podcast.
Thank
you. We love you.
Do you ever feel like you're struggling through motherhood? You're not alone. I'm Erica Jossa, host of the Mom Well Podcast, therapist and mom of three. Join me each Wednesday as I sit down with guests, including psychologists, pediatricians, psychiatrists, fertility specialists, lactation consultants, and more to unravel the myths of motherhood. With expert advice, practical tips, self-love, and some coping skills to help you along the way, you can become the mother you want to be. Listen to the MomWell podcast at momwell.com/listen or on your favorite podcast platform.